Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and it is Sunday, August 23rd, 2009. Wow, we had a glorious weekend of conference time, and I don't even want to say that because it takes away from the experience, but it was Kingdom Strategies at the Northbridge Church in Beverly, Massachusetts. And the speakers for the this glorious experience event was John Paul Jackson from Streams Ministry, Barb Jones and his wife, and Bonnie Jones, and also Aaron Evans and Jill Evans, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the angels from heaven, and the worshipers, and all the saints gathered in the cloud of glory. It was great. It was so awesome. And then we capped it off with, the Lord topped it off, I should say, with over-the-top worship at the Metro West Bridge in Framingham. And I wasn't going to go this morning and because I felt like, okay, we got enough for the conference, so I thought. And the Lord woke me up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like around 6:30. He said, get ready to go and worship him at the Metro West. You know, so it was like I just went. And I have a hard time myself, as individually, in the flesh, going someplace new, someplace I've never been before. But the Lord's been really working in my heart and my mind. First of all, to toss that aside and just do what He tells me to do. You know, and usually, you know, when that happens, God, He blesses. You know, and but anyways, that's not the subject of the show here, the topic of the show. And we got about a good hour and 2 minutes. This whole thing with Kingdom Strategy, I think my husband's about ready to say something, and we're going to go into some prayer afterwards. So this whole thing about Kingdom Strategy is they really get a hold of the mind and heart of God as to what He wants to do in the body of Christ and how He wants His people positioned for the next thing, for the new thing, for the now time that we are in, and how to be effective in the kingdom of God. As heaven comes to the earth, and you know the different things it's going to take for us to get out of the way and to grab hold of the hem of in the hand and the heart of the Lord for this time, because you know many of us have lost kingdom perspective along the way due to distractions associated with the spirit of legalism
and trials and tribulations
and of this life. Jesus said it wasn't going to be easy, and He definitely says that and dittos it in quotation marks that in these last days there would be more trials, more tribulations, but there was going to be a people that were going to come out glorious, a glorious people that were going to come out untainted and stronger than ever in the Holy Ghost. Once they receive Jesus and understand that they cannot enter to the kingdom of God through works. So anyways, the nature of this program, of the show, of this prior experience is going to be all about intercessory prayer and the next step, praying into God's next step. In God's kingdom strategy as it relates to transition. And that's why I found that attending this conference and what the Lord was doing personally in our lives, in our ministry, was all about discerning what the next step was. And I went into worship with eager expectation to know that the Lord was going to give me a key to the next step. You know, there was going to be another door that opens. And we went to this conference knowing, you know, having like a bird's eye view of what was coming. But we still, you know, don't have the full view until we actually entered it into that next step, that new thing, that next step in God's kingdom economy. So, you know, we're going to pray into that. And there was also some people along the way that I met that, you know, because we wrote on, I've been part of an ongoing blog, John Paul Jackson's blog. I won't disclose my name, but I knew one of the names, and I saw one of the links to the blog and the, you know, a person's picture that was associated with it. That was the subject of prayer, and so when I saw like the Lord pointed these people out to us at the conference, and I couldn't believe it. I just stepped out on faith and like, I believe that person's Emily, and these are her parents, because that Lord's been really putting it on our hearts to start praying for parents who are raising special children, you know, with needs that, you know, that need prayer. And, you know, and not to look at it so much as a defect, but to look at it more like a gift, but to pray into that for the parents and pray into, you know, pray for the children and their destiny. And because we have a special needs son too, his name is Joshua. And when I say special needs, I'm not presenting a negative connotation for that. But of course, when people don't function in their full capacity that we think they should, based on our own perspective, it kind of is perplexing and frustrating, and the only way to have peace in these kinds of situations is to pray on them and to worship the Lord, to ask for His heavenly perspective. And of course, most of it, you know, God wants to do a healing, He wants to do a miracle, but how does He want to do the healing? How does He want to do the miracles? And, you know, thank God we listened to the Lord and had gone to the Metro West Bridge Church today. It was John Thomas's church. He had John Paul Jackson ministering, and the worship was like, it was off the charts. And it just reminded me of when, you know, how he used to get into it at Father Tom's years ago. And I long for those days. And it seems like we're going back into those, you know, into that. But this, you know, this time I won't be up there on stage, but I'll be part of the worship congregation. And it doesn't stop there. We take the worship in us. The worship is constantly going. It becomes activated in our spirit. Jeff wants to say something.
When we went to this conference, they gave us a symbol to help us remember some of the things that were said, and they used the symbol of chess pieces from a chessboard. The symbol of a chessboard is very basic. There's two kingdoms at war with each other, and there's rooks, there's pawns, there's bishops, there's a king, there's a queen, and each of those pieces in the chessboard have their strategic way of moving across the board and how they can capture each other. This is like the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Each has its own strategy. One is God the creator, and one is a created being we call the evil one, or his biblical title, Satan, because he lost his role in heaven when he fell away eons ago, and he's been warring against what God wants for the human race ever since. And so the image of a chessboard is very apropos to the discussion of Christian strategy.
it's really something that you had mentioned about the chess, the chessboard, and you know, and the fact that the Lord they allowed them, you know, allowed it was moving in the heart of those who were hosting the conference to put these into our packages. I thought it was an excellent prophetic action. An excellent way, you know, for prophetic action to actually take root within our spirit. In my early days, when the Lord was had begun by the power of the Holy Spirit and then the person of the Holy Spirit to teach me about strategy regarding spiritual warfare in my life and how to recognize that and, you know, and how to get strategy from heaven as to what He's doing in my present circumstance, He would oftentimes have me play chess with someone. And as I was playing chess, the Lord, you know, would show me. I would actually use it as a prayer, and I would, ask the Lord to open up my spirit to show me what the strategy was from heaven as I was playing this game with my brother. My brother was the only one who actually taught me how to play chess. I learned how to play chess. It was by accident, by coincidence, when I was a college student. I was very curious as to what each piece did, before he went to dental school, the Lord wanted to activate that chess player within me. Because I was actually in a place where there was a lot of spiritual warfare happening around me, and part of that, you know, the Lord would use these games to show me what was going on, these strategic games. Oftentimes during that particular season in my life, He would reveal things to me as I was playing chess. And then I would have the complete answer after the chess game. God would give me the instructions from heaven. And I thought that was so cool. He also did that with the game of bowling. whenever I felt the pressure, the pent-up pressure within my spirit of spiritual warfare, either coming from my mind, my thought processes, and how I was perceiving the reality around me, or if it was more like a, you know, just my response to the world. Well, response and perception go hand in hand. And lots of times the Lord will have me go on long journeys and walks, prayer walks, to the bowling alley. This is when my kids were younger, Jeff, when they were babies. Yeah, and I would go, they weren't babies. They were like, you know, young kids, but, you know, I had a teenager at one point. My son was the first born teenager. He would watch the house while I'd go for a little walk and go to the bowling alley and proceed to play a game of bowling. You know, it was nobody else but me and the Lord. And I would oftentimes, the Lord would show me, you know, which are the strongholds that would be broken and smashed to smithereens as I bowled and hit those pins. And I felt so much victory because I felt like the Lord was real. He was waging the battle for me in that game, and all I had to do was bowl. And I felt so much better, you know, after that. And then I would go to the Chapel of Our Savior, which was next to the bowling alley, in that same vicinity, and I'd go to communion afterwards, go to confession and communion. So it was like the Lord used that, like a healing service just specifically designed for me. And I believe that this is what He wants to do in His people. You know, He doesn't, you know, I really believe that because the Lord is so multifaceted, I'm getting right now into the spirit, He's so multifaceted, and He's calling for a multifaceted people, okay, that each person has their own, embedded within their spirit of their life, certain talents, treasures, and that's specific to them that, you know, can contribute to the tapestry of the kingdom in order, you know, to tap into that. He also, you know, has ways that, you know, that he has designed, that's related to that individual, and that he knows that would make that individual come closer to him, draw near to him, and he has this built into the fabric of their life. But we need to discover that, and that's just the way the Lord works, because he wants us to like run after him, and you know, he's a great adventurer, and he wants us to be that too, and he just loves to entice us and just to go after him and ask him, what is your way, Lord, for me? What is, you know, how do I get out of the situation, whatever that situation is, to draw near to you? You know, how is your spirit drawing me near to you? Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the glory. And I know that, you know, we sing the song, show me your glory. Send out your presence, and we want to see your face. But, you know, there's, you know, according to our personality and our characteristics, our individual personality characteristics, the Lord has the songs, individual songs that he sings to us in the spirit, and individual ways in which he calls us to come near. You know, he knows the unique qualities of our personalities, and he also knows how each of us tick, you know, how what it takes. You know, he knows our quirks, and he knows what we like and what turns us on in the spirit, and he's just so wonderful. He's so awesome, you know, because that's how, you know, he wants it. You know, he wants us to be intimate like this with him. And so in this, you know, we when people ask us to pray for them, it's so hard. It puts me on the spot sometimes. Or if there's a prayer need and the Lord says, I want you to pray for this individual or this situation or that situation. And I'm like, I get so baffled. I'm like, well, how do you want me to pray? You know, I mean, you know, what do they need? And you know, I'm not you. You know, I mean, what do I need to, and then I get all caught up in this, the what. But then, you know, then they'll just come back with a very simple response. And usually it's in that simplicity that he just moves heaven and earth, and he's just looking for willing vessels here to bring the kingdom of God into the earth for, on behalf of individuals. And of course, it's his will for people to be in unity. And Jeff has something to say.
Well, we have to remember that the Lord moves in simplicity. On several occasions, before I've gone to bed for the night, I've surrendered my heart, mind, and soul over to him. And he actually had woken me up. I had been asleep for a few minutes, and my head lifted off the pillow, my eyes opened, and I was praying in a tongue that sounded like Hebrew.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And then I laid my head back down, and the Lord said to me, my banquet is almost ready. Well, earlier in the evening, he gave me a vision of banquet tables as we were going over to Hop and Bowl over down in Abington. And what happened is I saw this vision of heaven where I was in the great white throne room and God sent me outside the gate. And then I saw these endless amount of banquet tables. And then I went even closer and I saw the invisible hands of the angels putting the platters and glassware on the table and the silverware. And each thing had a symbolic meaning. And then the Lord explained. You know, I prayed through it, and the Lord explained to me what it was. But the thing is, he wanted to finish the thought. He didn't finish the thought in the vision. So as I was praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit, and then I sat lowering my head to go back to sleep, the Lord said to me, my banquet is almost ready. And Jesus in the Gospel said, I will not eat of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom has come in its fullness. And that's like, and he's saying to us, church, the banquet in heaven is getting ready, is getting ready. It's almost ready. And so we have to prepare. And how this relates to what we're talking about, kingdom strategy. God's strategy is that we have to get ready. And we do have an assignment of how many people God expects our ministries to impact, to bring them into the kingdom. We may not know the total number. We may not have direct influence, but God does. And as each person gets touched by God, they bring in their numbers and everybody. And then those numbers bring in more. And then I had another prophetic word at Half and Bowl where God wasn't satisfied with thousands. He wasn't satisfied with hundreds of thousands. He wasn't even satisfied with tens of millions, hundreds of millions. He wants everybody on the face of the planet. That's the Father's heart, that everybody on the face of the planet would come to know Jesus Christ and reestablish their relationship with God the Father. And numbers of times this has been manifest in different ministries where millions of people would gather in a revival meeting and could still hear the preacher, though the sound equipment only accommodated 2 million people. But there was 4 million people showing up, but they could hear the preacher all the way out to where there was no electrical equipment. God is worthy of your trust. God is worthy of your effort. Let him form you. Let him call you. Let him shape you.
Thank you, Jeff. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, you heard from Jeff about what the Lord's been showing him. And we have about 43 minutes, okay? Something that slipped my mind, yes, before Jeff shared. I strongly urge people, if you do not know what to pray for, if you have the heavenly language, speak in the spirit, and maybe that's all you need to do, and that will pierce the heavens, because you know, the heavenly language is the gift of tongues, the gift of angels, and yeah, it's a gift between your spirit and God's spirit through the Holy Spirit. And the enemy and the demonic forces do not have any access to the heavenly tongue. So.
Because it's God, the Holy Spirit, in you, praying through you.
And for you and on your behalf. And, you know, and on the behalf of mankind. There's also a groaning that happens. I get the groaning that happens before the tongues. And sometimes it just stays at the groaning. And sometimes I double over, there are times I go to my knees. Sometimes I get a disturbance in my digestive system, and that's why many people should, you know, that are intercessors should fast and not really have a full stomach when you're interceding. Because, well, with me, you know, whenever I'm in a place where there's warfare, it just seems like, you know, my stomach gets knotty. I get all knots and I can't really have anything, even if there's food around. So that's just the Holy Spirit just shutting me, my digestive system down. So, you know, so the Spirit can intercede and groan within me. So, you know, there are things that we don't even have to work at, but we have to know our bodies in response to the Holy Spirit. And this is all part of praying for the next step for God's people. We're not going to tell you what it is, because each person has an individual assignment from the Lord, which is a kingdom strategy that will serve as a or whether serve or help to become part of the tapestry from heaven. And so I just wanted to just begin this by praying in the spirit. Maybe I can release this phone to my husband here, and he can begin that, because he's been really this during this conference. It was so funny. I have to remember who I'm married to in the spirit, because it just seemed like when we first started courtship, and before we got married, of course, We used to go to all these places where the Holy Spirit was being poured out in power and glory. And that one of our first real dates was Toronto. I had actually been going to Toronto before then, but as a single person. But then, as somebody that was now I. Yeah, we went to Releasers for Life, and we went to the New Year's Eve celebration. So, we went to different places because we really wanted to be united in the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit was calling us together, it was going to be because we are united in one heart, one mind, one spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10 in the New Testament. But it just seemed like what God was doing is every time we went places, and I used to get sleepy with Jeff. Like I'm like, I just had my sleep. I had my coffee. Why am I getting sleepy? And then that was just what the Lord was doing. And we were just like, every time we went to these places together, we'd just be falling asleep all over the place and absorbing the atmosphere of heaven that permeated these meetings. And I always thought, I'm just getting so rude. This is so rude. And then the Lord just, gave it to my heart. This is just my season. He just wanted to show me how he was working with Jeff and how he was going to be working with us. And as the days, progressed. And so when we got married and things like that, it was to show me how to slow down and rest. And I really believe that's one of the reasons that he put Jeff in my path, in my life, because I needed to slow down because I was going a mile a minute. And I mean, there are people that tell me to slow down now. I'm real laid back, more laid back than I ever was in certain instances. And the Lord's just using my husband to teach me the different ways because the spirit is so docile. And so there are times when, if I feel like I'm receiving a word from the Lord or a teaching like now, or like in the conference, if I'm just, I'm attentive because I want my spiritual ears to be open. And sometimes I have to see what I have to see the person that's teaching, and I have to hear what the Spirit is saying. A lot of times I can be taught through, the person's mannerism and what they're saying and how they're saying it, and it has more of an impact on me as if I went to sleep in the Spirit. Although the Lord, he can have his way with me in any way, in any manner, in any shape. There are times where I may be at a conference and the Lord wants me to go to sleep so I can go into the spiritual realm so I can see clearer, how he's moving in that conference or what he wants for me to see in the spirit at that particular time. That's also a kingdom strategy, but it's something that we don't conjure up. Anything you have to conjure up, to me, it's like related to witchcraft, so, especially when it's spiritual. So it's nothing that we conjure up. It's just being open and having the Lord to guide us, in that fellowship, in that intimate union that we all should be having with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, I have to remember during this conference that my husband's going in the Spirit. Every time I turned around, he was asleep, and I'm like, and the first night was Friday night. Friday night of the conference. This is the one that began in Beverly. I wasn't even thinking. I was thinking, appearance. We got to make an appearance. Some people know us from the internet and everything. And I was all about appearance. And then the Lord just wiped that out of my brain. And all of a sudden, as he's going to sleep, and I'm like, Charles, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you? And he looked at me like, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. And then the Lord said, I have everything under control, and this is how I'm working. This is my spirit working through Jeff for this conference. let him rest. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, after my husband gave me that rebuke, the Lord gave me his rebuke. And I was like, okay. So on Saturday.
Yeah, go ahead.
And on Saturday, it was so funny. It was like, I was so engrossed in the in John Paul Jackson's teaching, and I remember him saying something to me, but I thought he had a I hope there's not too much information. Go to the restroom, but I think I might have heard was I'm going to go rest, and I just like okay, you know, and I didn't think twice about it, and all of a sudden like halfway in the conference, I heard somebody snoring. And I'm like, who is that person snoring? I'm like, wake up! I didn't even look, and I'm like, but I was coming from that direction. Towards the end, I saw this purple shirt because he was wearing purple, and then he was against the wall. I'm like, oh, that was him that was snoring. I wonder what he saw. So sometimes it turns into, you know, the drifting off in the spirit can turn into a deep sleep. But then he looked like he was pretty well rested, and he kind of almost like woke up towards the end of the conference. And I'm thinking, I guess this is just God's strategy for Jeff. And then today he was very, very, very focused in the worship. Do you have anything to say about that, Jeff?
Amen.
Amen. Is that all you want to say? Okay, praise God. Well, yeah, that's all. I mean, amen's pretty good. So be it, right? Okay, we got about a half an hour left. And I just think that Jeff should begin the prayer part into the next step. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit, and then I'm just going to wait upon the Lord to what he wants us to pray on and focus in on. So, Jeff, if you want to just call upon the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come to us. Come and visit us wherever we may be, Lord. Whoever hears this, whoever is listening even now, Lord, we just ask you through your Holy Spirit to manifest your presence, your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stir up the gift that was given. Stir up the gift that was given to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Stir up the fire that's within us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that immense hug you gave me as I entered a healing journey from leukemia, Lord. And I thank you for allowing, you didn't just give me a hug, you hugged me and then you stepped inside every cell of my body, Lord. And to this day, all I have to do is a minute focus of my attention and I know that you are with me. And I thank you for that gift of knowing, Lord, and I ask that you impart this knowing of your presence, this awareness of your presence through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, and glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name, Lord. Glorify your name as people are lifting you higher. Glorify your name. Take down all the worldly strongholds in your people, in the world, that stand against the knowledge of you, Lord. We thank you and we give you glory and praise you, Lord, for you alone are our hope, you alone are our glory, and we surrender to you, Lord. We act and choose to live in humility. We choose to lower our voices, lower our hearts, lower our minds, lower our bodies in physical prostration to your glory, Lord, that you will be exalted, that you will be glorified above all on earth, all under the earth, all in heaven, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your glory. We praise you and worship you. You alone are true King. You alone are true Sovereign. You alone are God and Savior. Hallelujah. You who humbled himself to take on the form of a servant, Lord, the form of a human being that didn't compromise your deity, Lord. Your deity and your humanity were perfectly united when they came together in the womb of Mary, when your spirit, your soul, which uncreated soul, joined into a human body, Lord. We thank you for taking on that body, because it was by that body that you were able to shed your holy blood for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name in all the earth, Lord. Glorify your name. Lord, we ask for healings to be dispensed among your people. Healings, deliverances, conversions, deeper teachings, spiritual giftings from the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Holy Spirit. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be recreated, and you, Holy Spirit, shall renew the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Shirley.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Father, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for drawing us near to you, drawing us near to you through Jesus, your Son, through Jesus, our brother and our lover. Lover of our souls, and the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our consoler, our paraclete, our friend. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. And the power that sits up at the right hand of you, of the Father. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you've done today, what you've done in the weekend, what you've done through your people and in your people, on behalf of your people, through the leaders. Bless all the leaders. Bless John Paul Jackson, Aaron Evans, and Jill, and their ministries, and Joshua Young, and his wife, Joey, and all the people that worship with him. And also, Bob Jones and Bonnie Jones. Bless them mightily, and I know they're already blessed, but bless them even more. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know who they are. You know where they live. They're coming and they're going. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, for those who came to the conferences, and all the conferences, this is just not based on one conference, but there were several conferences going on this weekend with the same kind of theme, in an orchestrated event in the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I just ask that you would just extend your hand of blessing upon all those attending those other conferences. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the multiplication. We thank you for the multiplication. We thank you, Lord, for the multiplication of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the contentment. Lord, just release contentment right now over the body of Christ in place of discontent. We ask for contentment, you know, especially the worshipers who worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord. I pray a special blessing and gratitude for having attended the Metro West Church today. It was worship that was off the charts and over the top. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to give, you know, to keep them on that momentum and that they would progress into a greater flow and into, whoa, Shabbat, that they would just ascend the heavens, oh, and continue to ascend and don't get satisfied for being in one place for too long. That, Lord, that they would just continue to soar, continue to roar, soar, soar, and roar, roar, and soar. Woo, Shabbat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Higher heights for the Metro West Bridge Church. Higher heights. Higher height of worship. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Change the DNA of your people. Make them a people of worship. Or who want to worship you in spirit and truth and worship you all the days of their lives and enter that deep place of heavenly worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And one of the things that really stood out in the teaching of John Paul Jackson today on healing and miracles is that healing, it takes more faith for miracles than healing, right? And it's not just dependent on one person's faith, but it's a corporate faith, an individual faith working. And that this unbelief around it's subtraction and distraction. And you know, he gave us certain examples about you know, in the scriptures that came from the scriptures about how Jesus had to ask people, you know, to that had the spirit of unbelief, or you know he performed miracles quickly because he saw unbelief coming, you know, a fast approach to a group of people, or maybe even territorial. Yeah, it's impressive. But as he was sharing this, the Lord was showing me unbelief is like a vacuum. He brought me to, you know, a place where the Lord brought me to a place in my past where, you know, the resurrection of the dead of my daughter when she drowned, she's now 20 years old, but she was 5 at the time. Naomi, I remember one of the prayers that I prayed before the Lord performed the miracle of resurrection, and that was, the Lord showed me there was a spirit of unbelief and fear. And I just tie and bound the spirit of fear and unbelief. And covered everybody with the blood of Jesus. And, you know, set the parameters for the Lord to work on behalf of Naomi. It really had nothing to do with me, but I was able to discern the spiritual, you know, what the Lord, you know, wanted to do. And so, you know, when John Paul Jackson was talking about this, it just brought me back. The Lord was just bringing me back to that pastoral experience where he was showing me something, that, you know, that he was working out. And so I came to a greater understanding of how the spirit of unbelief can hinder, the miraculous realm. Lord, thank you for that teaching. And Lord, I just pray that you just would bring the body in a greater way into that place where heaven will touch earth in their lives, daily lives, and that their understanding would be open, and as you impart greater wisdom of the spiritual things from heaven in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And for those who are struggling with cancer viruses, and you know, just illnesses that can be a distraction to getting closer to the Lord, Lord, I just ask that you would just heal them, and you would, you know, and we thank you, Lord, that you would heal them by your blood and your power of the Holy Spirit. Just heal them by your blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over their physical bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for Emily Ian, Lord, that you continually douse her with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and all those who have some kind of emotional affliction or mental affliction. But, you know, all they need is more of you, Lord, in their weakness, and we ask that you would just visit them on their beds of affliction, and that you would shine your glory upon them, show them your glory, and you would smile at them and give them a big hug from heaven and love on them. We thank you, Jesus, and help their caretakers. Thank you, Lord, in a greater way. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, we always want to pray for healing, but we, you know, sometimes don't know how the healing will happen or when it will take place or in what capacity. You know, so we thank you that you, Lord, we ask that you would just send forth your healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit, will, and emotion in people that are right now in this sick bed. We want to also tie in by the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' holy name. And we break that power right off their backs, that it will not hinder their spiritual growth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We ask for pure hearts, that the spirit of resentment will not set in. The Lord, show me that in these cases that, you know, that the caretakers have to have a light heart too, because their hearts are very sensitive. The hearts of our children who are afflicted with special needs, on any level, their hearts are more sensitive than you think. And the Lord is saying that the quality of care that many of these wonderful, precious children are receiving are not good quality because of the hearts of those who are taking care of them. So we ask, Lord, that you would cleanse the hearts of all those who are the caretakers of these wonderful children. Cleanse their hearts of all unrighteousness and sin. And, you know, we ask that, and unforgiveness and resentment and everything that is contrary to the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to come on in there and cleanse them. We thank you, Jesus. Give them peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding, God, in their hearts and minds. And Lord, for those who receive promises, for those caretakers who receive promises, who are intercessors and caretakers and receive promises for their children, for their loved ones, whether they would be older, you know, senior citizens, or whether they be young children, or, you know, all those who are caring for people who are afflicted. I pray right now, Lord, that you would perfect those promises, and that, Lord, you would bring those promises into fruition, that you would prepare the hearts of those that are caretaking to receive the fullness of the promises on behalf of the ones that, Lord, you have given promises through revelations, through dreams, through signs and wonders. Here is Jeff.
I want to speak to the fathers and commend the fathers who are persevering with their wives and with children with special needs. And I ask those fathers who are struggling with it, do not abandon your wives. Do not abandon your children. Persevere. Come closer to Jesus Christ. He will strengthen and empower you to be able to deal with it. He will strengthen you and give you wisdom and knowledge on how to get the assistance you need for your child, for your family, for your wife. Do not abandon your wife. Do not abandon your children, whether it's one child or whether there's several children. Don't let this challenge defeat you, defeat your marriage. You are married with a purpose. The purpose is to support a wife and have children. The purpose is to live and believe and take God at task for supporting you as you get on your knees before the Father and say to God, I need your help. I need your path. I need your strength so I can strengthen my wife. I need your wisdom so I can impart your love your faith, your glory to my children so that they will know that you are God and there is no other. Do not abandon your wives for the sake of how much it hurts you. There is more pain when you abandon your wife with a special needs child than when you walk through it, die to yourself, become a true father to your children, and if you don't know how, like many of us don't, turn to the Father of all fathers, and he will train you, he will heal you, he will free you from that which causes you to be hindered in your own fatherhood. You are ordained just because you were created male to be father. And the Father of all fathers wants to restore that gift in every man. And I said, in this Lord, do not abandon your wives and your children, especially your children and wives who have special needs. Trust in him. He is greater than your problems. He is greater than your pain. He is greater. You do not have to walk away from your wife. You do not have to walk away from your children. Yes, you are their provider. You are their God-ordained provider. And this is a challenge to your faith and love of your wife and of God. And it requires death to self. Your plans are out the window. You have a wife. You have children. Even those without members of their family who have special needs, you still have a responsibility before God and before man to take care of that wife and take care of that child, any children that your relationship with your wife has brought forth. And it is a sad commentary in this quote-unquote Christian society that Christian men are too quick to abandon the lives of their youth and any special needs children, even those families without special needs children. And the challenge is this: come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. He is the answer for all the pain, but greater is the glory that you will receive in heaven when you bring your children closer to Jesus as a result of your persevering in your fatherhood and persevering as a husband to your wife. We have too many people, too many men, too easily abandoning their wives and their children, and the Lord is asking you to come unto him and let him lead you, let him guide you, because he will pour out all the necessary strength, all the necessary gifts, all the necessary finances if you just turn to him instead of collapsing under your pain.
And we know that this pain is real. You know, the heart, the human heart can only take so much witnessing of suffering. And that's when we turn to the Lord. And I just want to just say to those who have participated in the abandonment, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And but I want to get back to praying for those who the promises of God were made for the healing of their children with special needs or their loved ones with special needs or themselves with special needs or illnesses and infirmities. We thank you, Lord, for the dreams that you've given. We thank you, Lord, for the revelations. We thank you, Jesus, for how you've given revelation of the Word of God and also in the ninth season, and you've given the prophetic word of freedom. And we ask that, Lord, you would just set the captives free by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for those who don't trust in you, that we can use this time for all those who are having issues of trust, for the healing, for the provision, for the promises to be fulfilled, that we stand in agreement right now and in the gap for these people, and we stand in the gap and we place their trust in you. We thank you, Jesus. We tie you by the spirit of mistrust. Break that power in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that more and more of your people would just come boldly to your throne of grace and place their complete trust in you for the provision of their life. We thank you, Lord. And, Lord, let the signs and wonders that follow your friends, your lovers, your believing church, that these signs and wonders be like a key to the next thing, a key to the next thing. We thank you, Lord, the next step for their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I pray right now as the hand of God is upon my son Joshua and was made manifest in the picture as a sign, as a witness that your hand is on the special needs population and those who serve their needs. Okay, whether they're adults, whether they're young, old, rich or poor. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your hand right now. Your hand of promise coming upon your wonderful people, your glorious people, your people that even the world has cast aside. We ask that you would just complete the process. Complete the process for my daughter, to complete the process of the promise for everybody. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. I just want to give a little witness. We have 9 minutes left. The other day before the conference, and also after like getting halfway through the John Paul Jackson's Art of Hearing God Correspondence course, we were able to finally purchase this course that the Lord told us we desperately needed. And something about one of the teachings just really got a hold of me. And every time I look at Josh's picture, I'm like, all right. I said, I have this son named Joshua who the Lord loves. He loves all my kids because he said he did. And, he gave me specific words for each one of them. And a lot of them have already come to pass in the seasons that he has ordained for them. I said, but Joshua, with the author, he's going to be 18 in January. And, this hand of God came upon him. It was always there, but manifested itself in the form of a picture when he was 14. And all hell broke loose before heaven, started finally making it, itself known upon the life of Joshua. But it's not fast enough to me. To me, I'm saying, we either see a healing unfolding or a miracle, or is there going to be a time where it's going to be healing and miracle all at the same time? And what do I need to do? And part of me was just so tired of waiting and having to do this to get that, and I was like, Lord, you are God from on high. You made Joshua, and you came into time in Joshua's life through the camera to manifest your hand, your right hand upon Joshua, taking off this dark ring from his neck and putting on a ring of light. But Lord, it's in suspended animation. it hasn't seeped in all the way. What is going on? I want to see results. That was our prayer the other day. And so, when I came to go to the Bridge Church this morning, that teaching about unbelief. And my heart is ready. I made myself ready as Joshua's mom, as an intercessor for Joshua. And I'm thinking, what's the missing piece, Lord? I didn't share this with you, Jeff, that part. This dialogue. Jeff's looking at me my husband's looking at me like he's hearing this for the first time he is. But, and I'm looking, and I'm looking at the picture, and I'm looking at God. I'm looking at the picture of Josh, and I'm looking at God, and I'm looking at my heart, and I'm like, Lord, you brought me to this place where I can believe 100% for this miracle. And every time I see Josh, when I visit him, I'm in anguish because, I know you have this for him. I'm frustrated for Josh, and I'm wondering if Josh is frustrated for Josh. I think he is, but it's like, what is going on? And so after this this conference, this powerful day that we had at the Metro West Bridge Church, it was like the thing that clicked to me was the faith of the individual receiving the prayer for healing and the faith of the person giving it. Now, you know, Josh needs his faith stirred up. And there may even be fear there, you know, fear of going out into the world, a new person. You know, and he's probably perceiving, because they're very, very sensitive, that the world is not a very pretty place, so who wants to go out in it anyway? So the Lord showed me all these different things that may be going on in Joshua's spirit. And the other thing is, you know, the Lord showed me, he shows him heaven a lot. And, you know, there's a lot more going on there than meets the eye. And then he began to show me that there is a definite, that ring around Joshua's neck is black, the one that's got to be coming off. And that Lord told me that's the spirit of unbelief. So my next assignment when I go to pray over Joshua is to tie in mind and break that spirit of unbelief. And we will do it right now, you know, corporately. But when I do visit him the next time, I will take the communion with me, because he does receive communion. And I will break that spirit off of him, and also pray for it. You know, the Lord will help his, you know, his faith, will help his belief. You know, help his unbelief by giving him more faith and more of a believing heart for himself too. So that's the conclusion I came when I went to the this worship service today. So, again, you know, Lord, I just want you to continually bless John Bo Jackson with his wonderful wealth, his wonderful wealth of heaven's teaching, heaven's perspective for the body of Christ. And Lord, I want to lift up all the people here that's hearing this, that I ask that you would just help them in their unbelief, you know, to have more faith and to believe more. And to remove the mountain of their thinking, you know, whatever thoughts are getting in the way, whatever the distraction the mind holds for them, their mind, and that they would grab hold of the mind of Christ and Jesus' holy name, and that they could see more clearly and walk into that destiny that the Lord has for each and every one of them, and that we would go, that the transition into the next step, this next step in this next season, in the new season, will be a glorious step into the right direction by the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Release those gifts. Release them. Release them into the next step. Oh, Lord, and give them the peace, Lord, that surpasses all human understanding. Give them the revelation. Open their hearts. Open their minds to the revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we have 1 minute left in this broadcast. And what I want to say is for those who want to order the Out of Here God, you know, it's $220. It's a good investment. Go to streamsministry.com and look under courses and then buy it. That's all I can say. Just buy it. So, anyways, God bless you. We love you. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever and ever and ever and amen. And ever. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
God bless.